Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I want you to know that I really appreciate being here. When Brother Ed called us a few nights ago and invited us, my wife and I literally rejoiced. And we both had it on our hearts. We hadn't told one another that until he called. But we are surely thankful to be here. Love each one of you, and glad that we have friends here. I'd like to start with the 50th Psalm. The first verse says, "The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and that shall be very tempestuous around about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice or for thy burnt offerings, who have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goat out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and every cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High." There seems to be a picture to me as I read this, kind of an image come into my mind of maybe of what the psalmist was thinking about, talking about. It says there in one place that God will be the judge.
Yes.
God is the judge.
Yes, he is.
Here a while back, several weeks ago, they had what they called the impeachment trial of Donald J. Trump. That's what they called it. And I noticed in that trial, our system allows for the removal of a president that way, and so the Congress went through what they needed to do and laid charges. And then the system says that it's tried in the Senate of the United States, and that the Supreme Court Justice of the United States would preside over it. And I noticed with all the wranglings and disrespect that congressmen had for one another,
yes,
and showed it.
Yes.
And for all the disrespect and disregard that the people had for the President of the United States.
Yes.
I noticed that they battled words back and forth between one another and said some pretty foul things,
yes,
back and forth to one another without respect or without regard. But nobody done it to the Supreme Court Justice of the United States. Nobody. And when he came in, there was a respect that was shown to him. And it seemed like, as I noticed some of it and the way they spoke about it, even the media spoke about it. I've heard judges run down before, but even as they spoke, they didn't speak from one side as the other. Both contending sides would speak with a certain amount of respect and honor to the judge. And there's a scene that unfolds here, I believe, in this scripture that's worth noting. The psalm starts out by saying simply that the mighty God. See, in our system of this is that We know it's just a man. And we know that he's faulty in many places in his life, no doubt. But the whole society has agreed together, in a sense, to set a man in a situation like that and give him an authority beyond himself.
Yes, sir.
Do you notice that in a situation like that, that there's only one man with the robe up?
Yes, that's right.
Well, there's a reason for that. There's a reason why it isn't acceptable for all the lawyers to put the same kind of robes and come in there and do that. They wouldn't dare do it.
No.
Because there's a meaning behind it. We set him up there as something in a place of authority that we grant to him. And he's got the authority. And do you know he's got, in many cases, a judge is given the authority to lock you up.
Yes,
or to set you free.
Yes.
To extend an extra judgment or to have mercy.
Yes.
To look at the situation and regard it, what it is. And it's a Supreme Court justice, they all didn't, nobody wanted the news cycles to be saying that the judge said something against them. Because it's important that that man that sat up there, and he behaved himself in a certain way that was respectful of the office that he held too. Because there was an image involved in it. So this scripture starts out as God being the judge, and he's judge of his people. And in this, I don't want us, not that it couldn't relate to it, but I don't want us to think necessarily this morning of the final judgment, because it's not what it's talking about. But the judgment that God has, and it starts out by saying, the mighty God. The mighty God. This, listen, here's the scene. Court's about to be held.
Yes.
And there's a time in the court session to where everybody's milling around and just doing their thing. They're milling around and they're talking. They may be talking the case. They may be getting ready. They may be anxious. They may be doing this. They may be talking fishing or golf. But there's a time where somebody will say, all rise.
Yes.
The judge is about to come into the present, your presence. And this God, this judge, this supreme judge is the mighty God.
Yes, he is.
And here is the scene that is unfolding. The mighty God is about to be come in to take place on his great judgment seat, his great throne. He comes in and sits in the awe of this scene. This judge isn't like an earthly judge. We have a great respect and honor. I fear the judge. Well, why wouldn't I? He's got the right, if I stand before him, to make judgment on me. But he doesn't make judgment like this judge.
No, he doesn't.
This is a different kind of a judge. Altogether in a judge. Israel didn't always behave themselves right.
No.
A lot of times they got in trouble and did things that they shouldn't do. But there's no... In this situation, I want us to realize something. And thank God for this. We fear these judges of our land because they have a right, maybe, to put me behind bars.
Yes, they can.
This judge is wanting to set you free. This judgment doesn't end with the bars. This judgment ends in liberty. He's wanting to pass judgment on us, looking into us that we can't look into ourselves. But a great court is to be held, and in my vision of this, the mighty God, even the Lord, is coming in and he's gonna sit there. And I tremble at that. I fear at that. Of course I do. Because this is the one that is not like other judges. I want to tell you something about it. The other judges will rely on the circumstances and the evidence that comes in, and it may be faulty, or let us say this, it may be accurate, but it don't know why. You may be guilty here today of many things. And you may stand before a judge with just the truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And there is no way that a judge can weigh your dysfunctional family, your environment that you was raised in, the hurts and hardships and abuses that's happened to you in life that shaped you to be who you are. There's no judge that can look down into that and make a judgment like that. But there's a mighty God coming into the courtroom. There's one that's coming in with awe. And it says in the second, I think in the verse, or the end of that verse, it says, hath spoken. Imagine the scene. All rise, and God, the great judge, comes and takes his position of judging. And then it says, hath spoken. Do you want to know what he says? Do you know that we're desperate for him to speak? If he doesn't speak to us, we'll never know. If he doesn't deal with us, there's nothing we can do. You can't save yourself today. Nope. I'll be saying this in very moderate ways. Maybe you can change. Maybe the life can change you towards the good. Maybe those kind of things. But for the most part, you'll get into a rut of your life, and what you are is what you will always be. And you'll never overcome those kind of things. But he has spoken. He come in and spoken, and I say, what did you say? There used to be an old commercial. What was that? It was, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. You remember that? Some of you older people. And there was it'd be so much noise, and when the word E.F. everybody stop. What was that? This is kind of the same thing. The Lord has spoken. Lord, what did you say? What are you trying to say to us? He has called. He has spoken, and he has called. The earth, this planet, is the Lord interested in calling the planet? Is he interested in calling the soil and the trees and this planet? No, he calls the earth. He calls the people. Yeah. How long does he call? From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. He sits on his throne. This is what God, listen, this is what God is. God is on his throne as the judge of all, and he calls to the earth all the day long, all the days of our life. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he's trying to do. This is an extended what day, my day, your day, from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, all through a man's life, God sets to judge, to call. Not just a judge for eternal damnation, as if God wanted that. No, he calls to judge our lives. To what? To righteousness. Yes. To holiness. To bring us to a place that we can't do by ourselves. I say again, he doesn't call us to jail. He calls us to freedom. You're in jail. Sin has put us all in jail. He's calling the freedom from the jail. He wants to bring judgment into our lives so that he can free us from the things that's made it put us in bondage. Then what a beautiful scene here develops. He says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. This is what, where God is and what God calls us to. You see, God knows what sin really is. He knows what evil really is. Where you and I may make little of the things that you may say the standards or the things that God looks at and says, don't do that. But God knows what corruption is. God knows what touches people's lives. God knows what's going to destroy your home and family. Yes. And what he's trying to bring us to is this Zion. That there is a perfection of beauty there. It's got to be holiness. I don't see how you can describe it as holiness. It's holiness. It's righteousness. The perfection of beauty. God has shined and is still shining that as into our judgment. He has spoken. What did he say? You know, there's a place God plays. He sits on a throne and judges. And I, you know what? I'm a faulty judge.
Yes,
I just about always will judge in my favor. Hey, you know, the old thing of man, every way's right in his own eyes. Well, then I must be doing right. If it's right in my eyes, I must be doing right. I wouldn't do what's wrong. So I'm doing it right. I judge it right. That's the way I judge things. But there is a clearer judgment. There's a clearer judgment involved. There's a judgment that comes from the Lord. There's a judgment. Paul says in one place something to effect. He said, it's no great thing that you judge me. For I don't judge myself. I'm not confident in my own self to lay a judgment on myself for eternity. Wouldn't do it. I know that I'm biased towards my own self. I will not judge my own self. But he said, what I do is wait until the Lord comes. The righteous judge of all that judges me righteously. And then the Lord's liable to say, Paul, you're wrong.
Yes.
Lord, I heard that. But he didn't say you're wrong and I'm going to penalize you and put you in prison. He said you're wrong so you can be freer. So that you can have a liberty. And that's what the great God of heaven sets as a judge. And what an awesome scene. I know there's going to be an awesome, awesome scene one of these days where we stand before that great white throne and give an account for all of our life. But I don't want to deal with that one today before we've dealt with the judgments of God's mercy. Where he wants to judge his people. He come and said to his people, I want to judge my people here. What you seem to be doing, you're making sacrifices as if you're feeding God. You're making these sacrifices as if that's really all I want and what I want. That's not what I want of you. This is a type, but I want more than that of you. Folks, you know that it's possible for you and I to be faithful churchgoers and make the sacrifice of our time to go to service and even say amen or sing our songs and not have it right in our heart. You know that that's possible. And if it goes long enough, in many cases it's likely. And who's going to be the one that's going to correct that? Oh, I see in my mind. I see God as judge that's able to correct, able to see, able to make a judgment that is true for my life. And so instead of being of the mindset here a while back at home, I had a service on and I really believe this. There's a few things in my lifetime of serving the Lord that I feel like has ebbed away a lot. And I really feel like that, I really feel like one of the things that has changed in the last 30 years of my Christian life, of my ministry has been my observation. My observation is that the people on a whole aren't as willing to be reproved. People don't like to be reproved. As a matter of fact, I would shun the idea of even going to reprove at anybody. It would be awful because, I mean, scripture says that you reprove a wise man and he'll love you. But just don't reprove a fool. Don't do it.
Yes.
He'll despise you. Yes. You won't have an avenue anymore. You won't have a way anymore.
Yes.
Well, if that's true in observation, and I believe it is, I believe that there is we're all so cautious even to have any reproof. I don't think reproof ought to be something that's fun to do. I'm just saying that in order, our hearts ought to be a heart thankful for reproof.
Yes.
Well, if God will do it and just between me and him and it comes down in a real soft way and gentle enough, I'll accept it. But not if he gives it to that preacher. the way he delivers it. Lord, help us.
Yes, Lord, bless.
Because the Lord will judge. And if we'll take advantage of that, I believe there's such blessings in us humbling ourselves before him and recognizing no matter where you're at or how long you've lived for the Lord, Lord, I need your judgment. I need your judgment in my life. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous around about him. He shall call to heaven from above. Oh, I think some of this is poetic and an allegory in a sense. He shall call the heavens above. This scripture, this passage seems to be saying in this judgment, you're going to call the witnesses. You're going to call the witnesses. Back during the trial of Donald J. Trump, that was the big deal. Calling witnesses. You're going to call witnesses. Not call witnesses. Call witnesses. Well, the Lord says here, I'm going to call all the witnesses.
Yes. Be
there's angels. Yes, I hope you believe in that, but this passage is talking about the Lord calling your angel.
Yes,
there's one that goes around all the time with you. He knows what you're doing. They know what this is about, and there's going to be an account given by the angel. Come and tell me how he's done. What's going on here? Well, that might be some kind, that maybe, I don't know about the reality versus the poeticness of it or of how it actually works in the real. I just said, they're going to call the angels to come and tell you how you're doing. Not only that, he's going to call the earth.
Yes, he is.
Then go check and see how your neighbors feel about you. You're going to go see how your spouse feels about you.
Right.
You want to come and do it? I ain't talking about the eternal judgment. I'm saying, thank God, now. Lord, look into how my wife feels about me. Now look and see what the children think about me. Now come and see what the neighbors think about me. Now the Lord's going to come and say, I looked at the angels come and gave the report. I went and checked in on your neighbors. They don't feel good about it. All this and this. Now I got to come and tell you, I'm going to lay a judgment on you. So that you can change. So that you can be blessed. So that you can deal with things on this side of eternity and not on that side of eternity. So that you can have a chance and opportunity to really realize, because I know as a human, I can justify everything I do. Well, my wife ain't happy with me. Well, I'll tell you what. I can give you a reason. My neighbors say, yeah, maybe we ain't getting along so well together, but hey, they're this way.
Yes.
Yeah, I can get your way. All of it is. But I want to tell you, when that piercing eye of the Lord pierces that as a judgment.
Yes.
It says, this who you are. Oh, Peter. Lord comes to him and tells him, you know, Peter, you're going to deny me. Not, right? I mean, Peter, you know Peter. Peter argue right there with him.
Yes,
he did. Though they all do it, I won't. No, Peter, you're going to deny me. You would have thought by that time when he would have said, Peter, you're going to deny me, that he'd have said, oh, Lord. But he argued with him. He argued with the one that looked right down to the depths of it that knew. He sat and argued. And you know why? He did not feel that way at the time. Understand that's who. Do you know that you can be confident in yourself and what you was and not know what that's going to do to you? Not what this is going to do to you? Do you know that you can think that you're right where you ought to be and the Lord send a trial to show you you're not right where you're supposed to be? But Peter was absolutely convinced, wasn't he? He was willing to draw his sword and fight to the end, wasn't he?
Yes.
You think he lied about saying he was willing to die? No, he meant that. He totally meant that. He didn't have enough in him to do it, but he meant it. He believed it. And there came a judgment on it. There came a time to where he saw come to him, and there he is wanting to do that. And all of a sudden, hey, you're one of them. Well, wait a minute. A few hours ago, you'd have said, you bet you I am. And he went to the point to lie about it. I am not. Then it got worse. Come again to him and said it, and he got more heated about it. He got to the point that he kind of threw a little tantrum over it. And it was ugly about it. And swore
yes.
about it.
Yes.
And this is the one that was willing to die. I can conclude by that, that maybe I ain't always what I think I am.
Yes.
Maybe sometimes when I feel like there ain't nothing can stop me, that there ain't very far down the road something will show me that it can stop me. But there's one. There's one that knows.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes.
There's one that knows, that sits there and does it. And you know, for our benefit, Lord, help us not to look at the things that come into our life as if they are some strange thing, as the scripture says, but to realize that the God on the throne, if we're His people looking to serve Him and with our seriousness of our heart, I believe God's got exactly what you need. I believe God can send exactly what we're supposed to have in our lives to get us to the place that we do understand who we are and understand what God's trying to do for us. I believe God can put exactly into our lives what we need to have into our lives. When we feel like we're something that we ain't, God can deal with that and see it. Always sitting on His throne with respect and honor as God. And there's going to be times that the Lord's going to pull the rug out from under us. There's going to be times to where a good dose of humility is in order, and we are not really willing to have that. We are in our full servitude to God, but in the moment we are not willing really to do it ourselves as a willing sacrifice to humble ourselves, and God in His great love and mercy is going to open the prison door for you. I want to tell you, He's going to bring a place of humility into that place. Not everybody's going to like you, even though you think they should. And you think, what's not about me to like? And you'll find out that there are a lot of people don't like you just because they don't like you. But Lord, help us.
Yes, Lord, help us.
He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that He may judge His people. That He may judge His people. That judgment would start in my own life. That I would allow, that I would be fully a part of that. And as one of the writers said, I think David said, search me,
yes.
Oh Lord. Search me, try my reins. It was willingness to it. Lord, You said it's judge. Judge my life. I want to be right in spite of myself. I can't. In spite of myself, I don't see myself. In spite of myself, I judge myself wrong. You judge me. You come and judge the righteous judgment. You search me. Try me. See if there be any evil way in me. See if there's any place there that I can be made better. Help me in this life that I live, because I can't do it for myself. And every time I go down and just try to do it to myself and make a mistake out of it, an error on it, boy, I'm going to tell you, sometimes I feel like there's such a fine line between right and wrong. Sometimes it seems like it's so fine a place to walk, and it's just so fine to walk. Should I do this or do this? And it's just, Lord, lead us and guide us. Help us to know.
Yes.
Want to skip some of this down, but of all the things, 14th verse of this reading, it says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. I recently met some people and had a lot of conversations with them, and I can say that I really, really enjoy them and like them. They're very, I've told them a number of times, inspired to talk with them, I may say, or challenged to talk with them, because, and I've told them a number of times, I said, in my world, everybody agrees with me. That's why I like talking with you all, because they're very progressively liberal people, and we don't agree. And so it makes some wonderful conversations to find out where they're at and what they are. Because in my world, I mean, come on, you know, you guys, I sit down and talk to you guys, and you know what I'm saying? I say something and you say amen. You say something and I qualify, yeah, that's exactly right. But this was a challenge. It was a challenge to me to do this, and I started learning something by this that I never would have learned by you. I learned that I really, really believe the Word of God. Because I was saying things to not be offensive. And the principles and things that I would say was always the Word of God. Everything I said, I kept finding myself saying to them, and I would quote scriptures, but I kept finding myself saying, yeah, what you just said, that's in such and such. And God said, over and over, I come to the realization that I really believe the Word of God. It is what it's supposed to be.
Yes.
It really is. And one of the things that I keep saying is that, and believe it, but I never said it like that before. I think it's important for me to be thankful.
Yes.
I kept saying it over and over. Yeah, I know this is bad or that's bad or they're doing this or this and this. But I think it's really important for me to be thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful. You said this in my life. It was hard, but I'm thankful.
Yes.
I'm thankful for the nation I live in.
Yes.
I'm thankful for the food and shelter and clothing that I have. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the obvious blessings of freedom and of life, and I'm obviously the sun's up and it's pretty and it's all that. I'm thankful, but I found it started going deeper in me having to say, but I've got to be thankful. I've got to be thankful. This, I won't reprove you for offering these continual offerings. It shows something, but going to service is more. Being saved is more than going to service. Your local service is an important part. But it's more than that. And what I'm interested in, and my burden has been for a long time, that we get the reality of it. And there's a reality of a loving God. Sometimes it's blurred in these Old Testament, but sometimes it's blurred. And sometimes there's an image of it. You thought, the judge. The judge is like, the judge, watch out for the judge. The judge is the one that can condemn. The judge is the one that can sentence. The judge is the one. But there's a loving God that sets us judge. I wouldn't want another judge. I love you guys, but you wouldn't always judge me right. Because you can't see enough to judge me right. But here's a judge that can judge me right.
Yes.
And so in the judgment that he has, he sins in his judgment. Something to free us. And he's going to send, oh, I like to look at it like this. All the elements of the universe are God's tools.
Yes, they are.
And he can send the hornets on you.
Yes.
He sent us fleas, right, huh? I don't know if I ever told the story of the fleas, but I caused it, but I just really didn't think about causing. We had this cat, and I had this graveled area that I was going to concrete. It was on our patio, and I fooled around and didn't concrete it. And I found out that if you put cat food out there where it was a little damp for the cat, and you have a cat, and the cat has some fleas, and then the perfect breeding ground, just for your information, the perfect breeding ground for fleas is a graveled area. And they have a cat where you put food and stuff on there and stuff. And I actually made a flea hotel. I had a free breeding ground. And we fought fleas. And my wife was less tolerant of fleas than I am. I don't like them, but she was less tolerant and less tolerant. And we started fighting fleas. And we started fighting fleas. And we was praying. We was praying, Lord, help us get rid of those fleas. And finally, well, the Lord helps us to get rid of these fleas. But I'll say in the whole process of the fleas, there was a lesson of grace. There was a lesson of grace and patience and going through, and you say, well, that don't seem like much in the whole scope of things. having fleas on you and doing that. I'd step out there sometimes and just kind of pull my pants leg up and watch them by the piles jump on my sock, just on my leg, just the piles of fleas jumping. And it ain't long. And that was a trial. I'm going to tell you, God runs fleas too. God has fleas. He has the elements.
Yes, he does.
Our next one was with mice. We had a mice. Then it was rats. We had these rats. I mean, mice is one thing, kind of cute and fuzzy, right? Rats are a whole different creature. Start getting them in the house, boring holes through the wall, tearing stuff up. Rats and this. God has the arsenal of the universe. The great judge that loves and cares for us has got his finger on the whole universe. The lightning's his, the thunder's his, the floods, the storms, the mice, the rats, the fleas. Everything is in his arsenal.
Yes, it is.
To deliver us from the prison house. To get us to the place. And it's why he said, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. This is it. Give thanks to God. Oh, this judge that sits on his throne with all of his awesome glory, with all of the, I'm going to tell you, awe, it belongs to God.
Yes, it does.
We should humble ourselves before this great judge and never hope that he quits judging. Never hope that he quits speaking. You know, there's a passage of scripture I really love, and it's told different in place, different a little bit, but there was a young man that came to the Lord one day, and he said, "Good master, what must I do to be saved or inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said, "Why call me good? There's one but good." And the Lord wasn't denying his own holiness. He was simply saying that you just called me God. And he said, "You know the commands, keep commands. I've done that since my youth. What else?" And I love the passage that says, and one of the gospels says, and he loved him.
Yes, it did.
Do you know what that means? That Jesus just loves one person and not everybody?
No.
He loves everybody. It was a statement of imparting. There was times, and rare, but there was times that the Lord said, "I won't tell you." But he loved him. And because he did, he imparted the judgment to him. I don't know that the man really took advantage of that judgment. But he spoke. He spoke to him the words that was his eternal life. He said, "Take all that you have. Go sell it. Give it to the poor." A rich man. "Take up your cross and follow me." He loved him. And he laid the judgment for his salvation on him. And he spoke to him. "Lord, help us." It says, "Offer God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High."
Yes.
Here is the one, this great King, this great God, this great mighty God, this great judge, the supreme judge of all, has come into his courtroom in our gospel time. He has come in and he sets to judge for us. You know, in the Old Testament, we read the Judges, the book of Judges. Part of their system was a system of judges because people were going to conflict one another. And so they had a system of judges to be able to make a determination between people and that. And I would be willing to say, unless they was really, really prayerful and really, really careful, that they missed it a time or two. Well, all humans do, Brother Ed. Wouldn't be no reason to assume that they wouldn't miss it from time to time. They did the best they could with their understanding, but there's a fact that they could have missed it from time to time and not got it right. Our system, as well as we try to do it, and they've tried to put the buffers not to get it wrong. They get it wrong, don't they?
Yes.
Of course they get it wrong from time to time. This one doesn't get it wrong. He's going to get it right. You're going to judge it absolutely. I'm glad for my judge today. I'm glad for the one that's able to pierce my heart, the able to look down. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I'm not too big to say it. I'm going to tell you. And it ain't like it's too far in the past either. I'm just telling you, there's been times that the Lord has come down and said, you're wrong. I've been in prayer before and praying about it, and the Lord tell me, you're wrong about this. That ain't the way it is, and you need to humble yourself, and the Lord deal with me. Wasn't long ago, the issues coming, different things, and the Lord coming, and things was all out of then. The Lord come and said, this all happened because you're not thankful. Oh, Lord, I'm telling you, it hit me. I've always wanted to be a thankful person, always tried to be thankful, always had a feeling of appreciation when people do things and all that, and the Lord come, and it smote me so hard. I wept over it. You're not thankful. This happened because you don't have a thankful heart in this. Oh, Lord, I'm ashamed of myself. I said I'm ashamed of myself for not being thankful for all that the Lord has done for me and all these things. And here I found myself in a place not being thankful. Oh, get, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay him unto him your vows. And he will sit there, I believe, all of our life from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, all of our life, there's going to be one that will sit there for us that will correct and help us and judge and pass a judgment on us. And then one day we're going to have to stand before him for the real deal, for the whole thing that's been said and done. And when we get there, we want the judgment to be well done, thou good and faithful service. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. You pray for me.